Good morning and welcome for everybody that's watching us online or listening on a CD. I'm going to give you an update first before I get into the message. I want to talk about, last week I talked about the service, the drive-in service that we're going to have up at Raleighville Recreation Center. And I want to make sure that I'm perfectly clear and we all understand. So the Sunday, June the 7th, we will be meeting at the Recreation Center at 11 o'clock. So what you view on Facebook will not be there. We won't be live. We won't be recorded at 11 o'clock on June the 7th. We will actually have to record this and then upload it. So it won't happen probably for maybe an hour or 2 hours later. Just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. And also, this stems on the weather. So weather permitting, we will have a drive-in service June the 7th at 11 a.m. at the Raleighville Recreation Center. I want to get started today. Today's message is going to be a little bit different than what we've been doing the last couple weeks. I got reading a scripture this week. It's one of those scriptures that you read, and you could have read it a couple different times. And you always see it or read it the exact same way. This week I read this particular scripture, and it really stood out to me. It shed some light, I guess you could say, because I saw it in a whole different light. I want to go over that scripture today, talk about it, and then look and dig into it, probably deeper than you've ever dug into it before. So I want to start off with a question. Has anyone ever done something for you that is totally above and beyond the call of duty? Has anyone surprised you with random acts of kindness? Maybe you felt like you didn't even deserve it. Well, that's what I want to get into today. I want to talk about this morning. And I have a very strange title for today's message. Today's title, here it is. Have you ever watered camels? Now, I told you it was strange. That's today's title. Have you ever watered camels? Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to read your scripture, to read your word, and then have the Holy Spirit, direct you and look at it in an entirely different way than you've ever done it before. I thank you for that. I'm excited for that. I love to read the word because of that. So Lord, I ask you to be with our service, to be with every individual watching and listening. And as always, Lord, I ask you with the Holy Spirit to let them hear what you want them to hear, not what I'm saying. So open their ears and their heart and their eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message comes from Genesis, very first book in the Bible, Genesis 24. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn there. Genesis 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to jump up and read 10 through 20. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 24. I'm going to start in verse 1. We're going to read through 4, and then I'm going to skip, jump up to verse 10, and read through 20. It says this. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord has blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in the house, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord and God of heaven and of God of earth that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among where I'm living, but will that you will go to my country, my own relatives, and get a wife for my son Isaac." All right, stop there. Let's jump up to verse 10. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneeled down near the well outside the town. It was towards the evening time when the women would go out to draw water. And then the servant prayed, "Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and then she says, drink, and I will have water for your camels as well. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin no man had ever slept with. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and she came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please, give me a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And quickly she lowered her jar to his hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. I want to paint you a picture. I'm going to spend probably about half of today's message painting you a picture of what is exactly happening. I want to get detailed. And then I'm going to follow up about more than halfway through and tell you about this, okay? Abraham, he's getting very old. His wife, Sarah, has already passed away. Their son, Isaac, he's about 40 years old, and he is still not married yet. Now, in those days, the father did the matchmaking. And at this point, he is way overdue for an arranged marriage. So Abraham, he needs to go out. Isaac's father, Abraham, he's got to go out. He's got to find his wife a son. Now, I'm not sure why Abraham procrastinated so much. Why did he procrastinate and wait till Isaac was almost 40 years old before he arranged the marriage for his son? But he's gotten old. If you remember back in the story, Abraham was almost 100 years old. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So now that puts Abraham at about 140 years old. And he just simply can't go out and find his son a wife. So what's he do? He sends his chief servant to do the job. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be concerned if I was Isaac. I mean, think about it. It's bad enough that you're going to be a part of an arranged marriage that your dad should put on, but your dad's not doing it. His servant is the one going to choose your wife. What? Now, Abraham, he knows that this is going to be a serious task. So what's he do? He gets his servant to take an oath that he wouldn't buy, you know, he's not going to go out and just get any wife for Isaac. He's not going to go down to the local Walmart and hang out in the parking lot and find his wife. He's not going to go to the Starbucks, hang out for a little while and find a wife. Right? Go back to the back end of town, go down an alleyway, look for a wife. No, Abraham specifically tells his servant, I need you to get away from here. I need you to go back to my home country. I need to go back to where I came up and find Isaac's wife there. Now, that seems like a task. The servant couldn't just simply... One, the servant had to pick a wife for Abraham's son, but he couldn't do it locally. He had to leave. He had to go away. And the servant agrees. And he sets off on his journey. Must have been a pretty good-sized journey. It's a very good-sized caravan. Do you remember in the reading how many camels it took? It took 10 camels, which were loaded down with gifts. Now, these gifts were going to be for the wife's parents, this girl's parents, if he found them. He had a very difficult job. He had to convince a young woman to leave her homeland. He had to convince this young woman to leave her family, leave her friends, travel a great distance, and marry a man that she has never met, that she has never seen. And she's not only convincing this girl, he's got to convince the parents. Think about this. Abraham, he came from Haran. And if that town of Nahor is still in the same vicinity today, then the servant and his caravan of camels would have traveled 435 miles. Now, a camel can travel an average of about 25 miles per day. So it would have taken roughly 17 days to get there. 17 days one way. Now, I don't know how many times throughout that trip the servant prayed. If it was me, I'd been praying every hour on the hour. Think of the task that he has to deal with, that he's got to go through, that he has made a promise to Abraham. Think of all the times that he would have had to pray. And we didn't get to hear all of them, but we get to hear one that he prays once he actually gets to the town. So 17 days later, after he's left, we hear the very first prayer. What we hear is the very first prayer. He prayed that when he asked one of the women for a drink of water, that she would know that she would do more than expected. He specifically prayed that she would bring him something to drink, but that she would go ahead and water the camels also. That way he knew she was the one. He prayed that the woman would be that particular one. Why? Because it would have been the one that God chose. Now, according to Middle Eastern hospitality, if you ask someone for a drink of water, they certainly would give it to you. But it's not Middle Eastern custom or hospitality for them to go out and water your camel, or two camels, or three camels, or 10 camels. That just doesn't happen. As the servant finished praying, Rebecca walked toward the well to put her jar in and draw water. And after filling her jar with the water, the servant hurried to meet her and he asked for a drink. Rebecca said, "Drink, my lord." And she lowered the jar to give him a drink. And after giving him a drink, she added, now pay close attention to this, "I will draw water for your camels also." But she didn't stop there. Here's the intriguing part. She didn't stop with saying, "I'm going to draw waters for your camel also." She goes on and says, "I'm going to draw water for them until they finish drinking." This is one of the lines that I got hung up on this week. So she ran back to the well. She drew more water. She drew enough for all his camels. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking, "Donnie, where are you going with this? What is your point? I mean, we get it. Camels are thirsty. What's the big deal?" Well, hold your camels. See what I did there? Hold your camels, not hold your... Okay, never mind. There's some more important points that you need to understand. Rebecca had to get her water out of a well with one container. She simply didn't turn on a faucet. She didn't grab the hose and run over and just fill this trough up or these buckets up for all these camels to drink. No, it was work. Oh, another bit of information. Did you know that a thirsty camel will drink 20 to 30 gallons of water each time? And remember, Rebecca, she came to the well in the cool of the evening when all the other women in the town were coming. They were also coming to draw water. So she would have to take her turn getting water from that well, all the while serving 10 thirsty camels who drank 20 and 30 gallons of water each. And we don't know how long she had to wait between each woman after she made each trip. She had to get back in line, wait, get the water, and do it all over again. I mean, we don't even know the size of the container she had that she was getting the water in. Chances are it wasn't 20 or 30 gallon container. She wouldn't have been able to handle it. And you say, hold on, Donnie, right? A woman can do anything a man can do. Listen to me. 1 gallon of water weighs 8.3 pounds. 10 gallons of water would be 83 pounds. That would be tough for any man. We're talking about a camel that's going to drink 20 or 30 gallons, okay? This means she had to take multiple trips to each camel. So think about this. Think about the amount of time that it would have taken. Rebecca would draw the water out of the well. And then she would take that well over to the camel or the trough or the bucket that they had for the camels. Empty all that water. Go back to the well. Get back in line, actually. Wait until the woman in front of her finished, or the third or the fourth or the fifth in line, and wait for them women to finish. And then do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. 10 camels. She would have had to do this numerous times per each camel. Let's just say that it took 3 trips to each camel before they had their fill. And each trip and the waiting process in line took 10 minutes. So that means roughly 30 minutes per camel. You know what? Let's give Rebecca the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it didn't take 30. Let's say it only took 20 minutes to fill the water, go over, dump it out, jump back in line, wait, fill it up, do it all over again. Let's just say it just took 20 minutes per camel. With a total of 10 camels. Any mathematicians out there want to guess on how long it took to satisfy the thirsty camels? 3.5 hours, and that's on the low end. 3.5 hours to water these camels. Here's what I'm getting at. Rebecca committed herself for almost 3.5 hours to a perfect stranger. She did way more than she was asked to do. Now, at best, some of us might have said hello to that man. We might have said hello to the servant in passing, right? Some of us, we might have gave him the Raleighville wave. Few of us might have even offered him a drink of water. Even fewer of us would have told him that, hey man, you can use my bucket. You can use my container. But how many of us would have committed 3.5 hours at the end of an already long day to someone that we didn't even know or maybe even ever see again? That got your attention? You know, it's usually not our goal to do more and get nothing for it. Many people will do the least amount of work as possible, hoping and even expecting to receive the maximum benefit possible. And that's not what Jesus even taught about. If you think back to what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, back in Matthew 5:20, he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying, unless it goes further, unless it goes beyond the call of duty, unless you go beyond what you are paid to do or forced to do or asked to do, unless your whole life, Your spirit, your outlook exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus gave us a good example of what he meant later. If you go up to verse 41, I believe it is. Yeah, 41. When Jesus says this, he says, if someone forces you to walk with them 1 mile, you go with them 2. Now, Jesus was speaking specifically in regards to the Roman law that says that any Roman soldier had the right to ask a Jewish person to carry his heavy equipment for at least 1 mile, and the Jewish person had to comply. That doesn't sound good, does it? According to Roman law, the Jewish person had to walk the very first mile if he was asked or she was asked, or the small child was asked. Didn't matter if he was a man, woman, or child. If a Roman soldier asked you to carry something for them, you had to do it. There was no arguing over it. That was the way of life. Accept it. Keep your mouth shut. They owned you for that 1 mile. Imagine your worst enemy coming up to you and ordering you to carry their heavy bags for 1 mile. We don't like to even think of that. You carry in this heavy load, and then once you come to that end of that mile, you lay down those bags and you say, my mile's up, see ya! Jesus was teaching. Shock the daylights out of them, and then offer to go a second mile and mean it. You see, that very first mile, he owned you, and you had no choice. But in that second mile, you own yourself, and you're in control of how you're going to let Jesus shine in and through you. That's what Jesus was getting at. Jesus is saying the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a Christian should go above and beyond and walk that second mile and do the extras that cause others to say, wait a minute, what's up with this guy? What's up with this lady? They don't have to do this. Why are they even doing this? This is what I like to refer to as the second mile philosophy. It's summed up when Rebecca says, I will draw water for your camels also. When Rebecca spoke these words, she was being used by God, and it showed in her actions. She went above and beyond what she needed to do. If Christians were willing to go that second mile on our jobs, at school, at home, in our marriages, our bosses, our teachers, our friends, our family members, our spouses, we want to know more about who we are and why do we do what we do. They would want to know more about the people that are dedicated serving God. They would want to know more about your testimony. So this morning, I want to give you 3 practical steps on applying this second mile philosophy, and also I'm going to follow it up with a blessing. The very first step, take the first mile seriously. Now, I've been telling you about the second mile, doing more than what you are expected to do. Go that extra mile. Take your very first mile seriously. You see, even the most glamorous jobs, they can become routine, mundane. You no longer find the excitement and the pleasure that you once had. And as a result, we begin to do shoddy work, messy, maybe hasty work. We do that on the very first mile, and then we end up having to cover our tracks on the second mile. With that kind of thought process, you would never convince anyone that your faith makes you any different. Give it your all when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're playing, when you're volunteering. You should be motivated to give your all because, listen, you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for man. You're doing it for God, no matter who's watching. We don't have to impress anybody. Technically, we don't. The only person we need to impress is Jesus. So we should always be asking ourselves, am I watering the camels for God? Or am I doing it for myself? One other thing I want to point out. There in Rebecca, or point out about regarding Rebecca, verse 20 tells us that she ran to the well to get the water for the camels. Now why does it say that? Why is that even pertinent to this? Why do we even need to know that? This is something else I got hung up on. She ran to the wells to get water for the camels. Really stood out to me. Why would she run? Was Survivor on television? Right? Did she need to hurry up and get back home so she could post something on Facebook? Were all her friends getting ready to go to the movies and she had to hurry up? She's running through this so she could get home and get back to her friends? No. She was simply being a servant of God. And most likely, she just saw a very tired man and thirsty camels and wanted to help as quickly and as efficiently as she could. She was eager to make a difference. The second step, water the camels with a smile. You know, sometimes my wife, Sarah, she asked me to get something for her or do something for her, and it never fails. It's always when I'm right in the middle of doing something. It just seems that way. I might be in the basement, I might be in the office, I might be outside, and she'll ask me to come help her or do something for her, and I go, oh. That ever happened to y'all? You know, I've come to learn that Sarah has an excellent sense of hearing. She hears my sighs. She hears my groans. She hears my mumbles. She can even hear my eyes roll. Now, do you think I'm a willing servant at those moments? Not at all. I'm running to water. Am I running to water her camels? In those moments, am I running to water her camels? No. Why? Because I don't even want to be bothered. You know, in that moment, I'm not being an effective witness for Jesus in my very own home. We need to put that second mile philosophy into action with a loving and willing spirit. Third step, put this into practice. Just put it into practice. Put this principle of watering your camels into your marriage and your significant relationships. What do you think would happen to your marriage or your significant relationship if you were to go home today and you go out of your way to not only do what your spouse expected or asked you to do, but you joyfully and lovingly did the unasked and the unexpected? How do you think that would go over? If you took care of watering the camels in your marriage, don't you think that that would transform your marriage? And what would it mean for your job? What would it mean for schoolwork? If a teacher, man, or a boss gave an assignment, you did it with quality, right? Not sloppy, not as, you know, procrastinating and running in and doing it at the very last minute, but you showed your willingness to do it. And you performed that task with integrity, willing to go that second mile because that first mile was accomplished oh so well. What would it mean about volunteering at church or another organization? Right? Don't just do enough to get by. It doesn't matter whether you're preparing communion, cleaning the church, ministering to the youth, visiting a member at the hospital, or even preaching. We must do it with integrity, because remember, you're serving God. He's watching you. It's not about what the preacher saw you do. It's not about what the deacon seen you do. It's about God. You're doing it for God. You're not doing it for man. I mean, little did Rebecca know that what was in store for her when she did what she did. She didn't realize that her one action would determine the rest of her life. And by going that second mile, she sealed her destiny. She would become the ancestress, the great, 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 a whole lot of greats. She'd be a whole lot of great grandmothers to Jesus Christ. At that very moment that Rebecca spoke to the servant and started watering the camels, she became part of God's plan for salvation for you and me. Now, she could have given the servant a drink and then just disregarded the camels. But she didn't. That's the essence of this story. She didn't know what would happen when she went above and beyond. The same thing happens to you and me. It happens to us when we go the extra mile in the spirit of Jesus. We become part of the divine chain of events that may lead to the salvation of somebody else. Now, I'm sure Rebecca, she was tired at the end of that long day, drawing 200, maybe 300 gallons of water from that well. But because she did, hear me out, because she did, it changed her life. It turned out to be surprising. It turned out to be rewarding. It turned out to be wonderful. So my hope this week for everybody listening or watching is that when you're at work this week, or you're at home this week, maybe you're shopping, whatever you're doing this week, and you find yourself around somebody that just asks for a drink, you'll say to them, friend or enemy, here, drink. And when you're finished drinking, I'm going to draw water for your camels. When we do this, we become part of God's plan of salvation. We become part of God's plan, God's will for your life. We become part of the answer to a world that is hurting and wanting proof that someone really does love them. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for this story. Thank you for letting me see it in a whole different light. Thank you for the opportunity to really, truly realize that when we go the extra mile for you, it affects people's life. That really blows my mind when I just really think about this story. And we go through this story many, many times, and we just don't draw into it. We don't always focus in on what it meant for Rebecca to go that extra mile and how it impacted the world. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I ask you to be with us as we leave this Sunday. I was going to say leave this place, but Lord, help us as we go through this week, knowing that we have an opportunity to go a second mile and affect somebody's life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, just here in the last minute or two, really just realized something very, very important. There was somebody else that went the second mile that didn't have to. Somebody else went the second mile. That was Jesus. Jesus is our example, is he not? Go the extra mile. Thanks so much.